Srila Prabhupada concludes his introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is by citing Gita Mahatmya. There are several Gita Mahatmyas. This one, in 7 verses, encapsulates all the reasons why we should study and encourage the study of Bhagavad Gita. It's especially appropriate to discuss this just before Mokshada Ekadashi. I'm speaking this shortly before Mokshada Ekadashi, which is the day on which Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to his friend and disciple Arjuna. The author of this Gita Mahatmya is unknown. It's often ascribed to Adi Shankaracharya. And although we Vaishnavas have distinct philosophical differences with Adi Shankara's philosophy, we agree with him on so many points, one of which is the importance of Bhagavad Gita. The first verse, Gita Shastra Vidang Punyam Yah Patet Prayata Puman Vishnu Padam Avapnoti Abhayashoka Adi Varjita Ha. The first verse establishes Gita as Shastra. Generally, the main importance in Shastra is given to Shruti, the original Vedas, and Bhagavad Gita appearing in Mahabharata is considered Smriti, less authoritative. But as we will see as we go through this Gita Mahatmya, this Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Shastras, and whatever's in Shruti is summarized, whatever the ultimate direction of Shruti is summarized here in Bhagavad Gita. This is Shastra. It means it's authoritative. It's not someone's made-up idea. We should take it very seriously. Shastra means that by which we should be ruled. Our life should be ruled by Shastra. And although we can't study so many different Shastras, we can study Bhagavad Gita. Study of Shastra is punya, it's a pious activity, but not all Shastras award this benediction, that by regular study of Gita, Vishnu Padam Avapnoti, we can go to the land of Vishnu, Vaikuntha Loka, which is completely devoid of fear, lamentation. This material world is characterized by dukkha, as Lord Krishna states twice in Bhagavad Gita, the characteristics of this material world are anityam, asukam lokam. Everything here is temporary and everything here is full of misery. But the spiritual world of Vishnu is full of bliss. There's no question of any fear. There's no question of any lamentation. There's no question of any distress of any kind. Therefore, it is recommended that respecting this Gita as Shastra, not just thinking of it as someone else's opinion or one book among many other books, we should, with full faith, regularly study Bhagavad Gita. Gita dhyana shilasya pranayama parasya cha naiva santi hi papani purva janma kritani cha. We're recommended to study Bhagavad Gita, not just recite it in some gibberish kind of way. And persons who are accustomed to, who have the propensity to regularly study Bhagavad Gita, and also mentioned here, to perform pranayama, of the yoga system, then naiva sandhi papani purva janma kritani cha. We are all getting birth after birth after birth. We commit sins, then we have to suffer the reactions. But here it's stated that by this attachment, by this habit of regularly studying Gita and pranayama, then we won't be touched by the reactions of previous sinful activities. Of course, in this age, especially, the yoga system, including pranayama, is not so much recommended for spiritual advancement. In fact, we find in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains this yoga system. He outlines it to Arjuna, and Arjuna finds, it's really too difficult. So what to speak of in this Kali Yuga, where our minds are always disturbed. We don't have a long lifetime, which is required for the yoga system. So in this Kali Yuga, we should study Gita and chant Hare Krishna. That will include all the benefits of the yoga system, which we can't properly perform in this Kali Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasceva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In this Kali Yuga, we should chant the holy names of Hari. There's no other way. Yoga, austerities, visiting so many holy places, so many different processes are given in the Vedic system, and they are discussed in Bhagavad Gita, the paths of karma, jnana, and yoga. And ultimately, we have to surrender to Krishna. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, the charam shlok, the ultimate teaching, sarva dhamman parityaja, mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. By studying Gita, by coming to this conclusion of surrendering fully to Krishna, understanding that this is the culmination of all dharmas, therefore we don't have to follow any other dharma except taking full shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna says, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This world is a world of fear. By studying Gita, by coming to the conclusion of Gita, of fully surrendering to Krishna, we are delivered from all sinful reactions. And we go to the land of Krishna. In the third verse of Gita Mahatmya, we find Mala Nir Mochanang Pungsam Jalasnanam Dine Dane. Mala Nir Mochanang Pungsam Jalasnanang Dine Dine Sakrit Gitamrita Snanang Sangsara Malanashanam. Every civilized person bathes at least once daily, and in this way the accumulated dirt on the body, perspiration, whatever, is cleansed. But the author of Gita Mahatmya says, by simply once bathing in the nectar, not just water, but the nectar of Bhagavad Gita, we are relieved from the filth that accumulates by being in material existence. So the analogy is clear. We clean off the body by bathing in water, but we should bathe in the nectar of Bhagavad Gita, which cleanses off the dirt of material existence. The dirt of material existence is kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. These are all discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride, envy, so many different material attachments are there, so many misconceptions are there. This is all samsara mala, the dirt of material existence, that is cleansed. If we even once fully immerse ourselves in the nectar of Bhagavad Gita. But better, we immerse ourselves not just once. It's not like a kind of book. Okay, you read it, you finish it, but it's to be daily, throughout our lives, resorted to for cleansing of and purifying of the consciousness. And how should we study Bhagavad Gita? That is stated in the next verse of Gita Mahatmya. Gita su Gita kartavya kimanyai shastra vistarahi ya swayang padmana abhasya mukha padmad vinisrita. It is our duty to recite Gita very carefully, very nicely, with all respect. We should approach Bhagavad Gita with great faith, with great reverence. If we do so, then there's no need to study so many different shastras. There are many shastras in the Vedic corpus, and some people like to study others also, even the non-Vedic, they could also be called shastra in some respect. There's Bible, Quran, so many different books are there. But in the Gita, we get the essence of all spiritual life. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't study Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, but the real basis by which we can study all these high shastras is this Bhagavad Gita. If we can understand the teachings of Bhagavad Gita very carefully, absorb them in our hearts, then that will be the basis of our full spiritual understanding. Why so important this Bhagavad Gita? Yasvayam padmanabhasya mukha padmad vinisrita. Directly emanates, directly spoken by Lord Krishna himself. So it is the essence of all the Vedic literature. The Vedas, they emanate from Narayana, and Narayana himself directly speaks the essence of all Vedic knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, to Arjuna. In the fifth verse of Gita Mahatmya, we have Bharatamrita Sarvasvam Vishnu Vaktarad Vinisritam Gita Gangodagang Pitva Punarjanmana Vidyate. Mahabharata is also just like nectar, but the very essence of that is Bhagavad Gita. Even if we don't study the whole Mahabharata, which is a huge task, the very essence is Bhagavad Gita. And again, the importance is given that it's spoken directly by Lord Vishnu himself, Krishna. Another analogy is given of the water of the Ganga. We may go a long way to take a bath in the Ganga. Drink the water. That is very purifying. Or someone may bring to us from a long distance in a bottle the water of the Ganga. It used to be, before the days of mass transportation, that people would go to the Ganga on a pilgrimage. It may take many months, and come back to their village carrying a little container of Ganga water, and then people would take very respectfully one drop. And then people who come from a village where they may get a little drop of Ganga water very rarely, and they're very surprised, they go to places like Varanasi and Navadvip and Haridwar, and they see the people take a whole bath in the Ganga, and they take that water and use that for cooking and everything. They even wash their cloth with Ganga. You couldn't imagine such sacred water. Bhagavad Gita is available to everyone, everywhere, in all places, all circumstances. It's not limited. You don't have to go to the Ganga to drink that water. You can access this Bhagavad Gita everywhere. The example is given that if we take this water or nectar of Bhagavad Gita, then we won't get born again. By bathing in the Ganga, we get freed from all our sins. We don't get born again. Of course, if we come out from the Ganga and again commit sins, we don't get freed from the results of sins. But if we take this nectar, purifying nectar of Bhagavad Gita, no more birth. Ganga comes from the feet of Vishnu. Gita comes from the mouth of Vishnu. It's all nectar. It's all purifying. Sarvo panishado gavo dugdha gopala nandanaha partho vatsa sudhir bhogta dugdham gita amritam mahat. The next verse, verse 6 of Gita Mahatmya, compares Bhagavad Gita to a cow, the most pious animal. And this cow of Bhagavad Gita is compared to all the Upanishads. The Upanishads give the spiritual knowledge. It's the Jnana Khanda of the Vedas, also called Vedanta. When we've been through all the Vedas, we should come to the knowledge section, the Upanishads. And all the Upanishads, they are gathered in Bhagavad Gita. So that's like a cow, and the cow is to give the milk. How are we to get the milk? There should be someone who looks after cows. There should be someone who knows how to extract the milk. So dugdha, the person who is taking out the milk, is Gopala Nandana. That means Krishna is milking the cow, taking out the nectar of all the Upanishads, which is gathered in Bhagavad Gita. Now, if we want the cow to give milk very easily and profusely, then what does the cowherd man who milks the cow, what do? They bring the calf close to the cow, and then the cow, out of affection, gives that milk profusely and in good quality, and she gives it very easily. So in the same way, in this analogy, the cow is the knowledge of the Vedas. Taking out the knowledge of the Vedas and delivering it is Krishna. And Partha, Arjuna, is just like a calf, because Arjuna is very dear to Krishna, and Arjuna is the right person for receiving the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And then Sudhir Bhukta, who is going to drink the milk? Why is this milk being extracted? Who's going to enjoy this milk or the instructions of Bhagavad Gita? Sudhir, people who have very steady intelligence, very purified intelligence. We can become Sudhir by hearing Bhagavad Gita. So this Bhagavad Gita, it's not meant for people who are interested in gross worldly enjoyment. It's meant for spiritually minded people, Sudhir Bhukta. And what is that? Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat. The milk of Bhagavad Gita is the nectar of Krishna's instructions. It's just like nectar. It's great nectar. The last verse of Gita Mahatmya is a call to the people of the world to take Bhagavad Gita. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantras Tasya Namaniyani karmapyekam tasya devasya seva. This is the formula for uniting all the people of the world. Instead of fighting over my book, your book, my opinion, your opinion, my philosophy, this, that, let us all accept the beautiful song sung by the son of Devaki, Krishna. Let there be one scripture for the whole world, this Bhagavad Gita. And let there be one God. Actually, God means one, but there are different ideas of who God is. People are fighting. By studying Bhagavad Gita, we can understand Matah Parataram Nanyat Kinchid Asti Dhananjaya. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there is no truth superior to me, neither equal nor greater, not even slightly. And Arjuna accepts that also. It's very clearly established in Bhagavad Gita, which is accepted by Sudhir, all great saintly persons throughout the ages. So let everyone to worship Krishna. Stop all this religious fighting, this, that. Eko mantras tasya namani yani. There are so many mantras, so many prayers, but let us emphasize this one practice of chanting the name of Krishna, especially the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And let everyone unite karmapyekam tasya devasya seva. Everyone should perform all their work for Krishna. Let us all unite on this platform. The topic of work, working for Krishna, is elaborately described in Bhagavad Gita. Please read it, please distribute it, please live by it, and let us make our own lives perfect and benefit the whole world by this message of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha kalpataru vyascha kripasi.